Courtney Marks's reappointment went through. Steve Grady did not request reappointment. I haven't heard anything about that ward office. And Julie Rigoli still hasn't told me that she's not eligible to participate unless she's reappointed. So she may or may not be on because we haven't been able to get any action on that yet. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense, Terry. So when she's doing roll call, we won't call on Steph and Grady?
Julie, because she can't. Okay. As of 12-1, her appointment ended.
Okay. So Tracy will be running the meeting. The meeting's already started with the recording.
Perfect.
And I'll send that.
Okay, I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order then, if that's okay.
Yes.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, December 10th, 2025, called to order at 12:02 p.m. And could we have roll call, please?
Yes. Okay. Alice Sendagi?
Here.
Andrew Christopher?
Here.
Blake Houghton?
Here, and it's Houghton. Sorry, Tracy.
Okay, no worries. Carlos Lozano?
Here.
Courtney Marks?
Here.
Gary Miner?
Here.
Helen Erickson?
Here.
J.J. Lamb?
Here.
Jessica Bassey?
Here.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Ken Scoville?
Present.
Kathy Kubisch?
Here.
Mauro Trejo?
Here.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
And Tim Haggard?
Here.
Did you hear him, Tracy?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so that's 16?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, everyone. Let's go ahead and move on to item 2. Which is the land acknowledgement. Commissioner Lozano, would you present that for us, please?
Sure, thanks. On behalf of the residents of the City of Tucson, the City of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands of the Tohono-O'odham Nation and the multi-millennial presence of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe within Pima County. Consistent with the TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
Thank you. Item 3 is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 11-12-25. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please?
This is Joel. I'll move.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you, Blake. Is there any discussion of those? If not, Terry Seaton, go ahead and call roll, please, for the vote.
Okay. Alice Sendagi?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Houghton, aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Motion passes 16-0.
Thank you very much. Okay, item 4 is chairperson summary of current events. I have asked Carla and Tracy to send various things to you. The most recent is an email from Jim McPherson, who is runs the Arizona Preservation Foundation, and it's about support for 2026 legislation protecting Arizona's historic neighborhoods. And he had also copied several other commissioners on that. So you should all have that. And I'm going to ask something of Desiree and of Desiree's office once we get to that point in the meeting. But I need you to become aware of this, and we'll figure out how, you know, we'll follow this because it's important, having to do with the middle housing and some proposed changes. So that's just for your information. Item 5 is recently posted subcommittee LER/minutes, just calling to your attention that as these get prepared and submitted and posted, just keep an eye on that at that link for the different subcommittees and for the full commission meeting, and to keep aware of things going on. And note that there are LARs and then there's final minutes. So there's two separate areas. So if you have questions, contact me about that. Okay. So the next item is removal appointments to TPC, HC subcommittees, working groups, and so on. I have two, or several. Let's see now. So we have to remove Stephen Grady from the Historic Landscape Subcommittee as a member and chair, and appoint Helen Erickson as chair of HLS. We also need to appoint Blake Houghton to become a member of PRS. And are those the only ones that I'm missing, those of you that know these things? Helen, am I good?
Yeah, Terry, I would like to request that Steve Grady be listed as a citizen advisor. He'll continue to work with us in that capacity.
I thought he wasn't ready to do that.
Oh, he is. He knows.
Oh, okay, that's fine. So then we'll just add to that motion, so it'll be remove Steve Grady as a member and chair of HLS, but appoint him as
citizen
whatever
advisor.
The appropriate, that's
what
not the appropriate
that
name, though. That's
yeah,
not the appropriate name. As an advisory member of the commission, we have three positions. Only two of them are filled. And then also to, I'm completely lost here. Okay, we got the point about Steve, and Helen will be appointed as chair of HLS and Blake Houghton as a member of PRS. Is that clear to everyone? So somebody can move that. Who will move?
I'll move it, Joel.
Okay, Joel, and then let's have a second.
JJ will second.
Okay, so does everyone understand the motion that's been moved and seconded? Okay, these are critical things for moving ahead with subcommittees. Okay, so let's go ahead and take roll call vote, please.
Ellis Sandagi?
Yes, aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome. Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
Helen Erickson?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Aye.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 16-0.
Perfect, thank you. Let's move on to item 7, which is reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. We'll start with 7A, which is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. Desiree, please.
Yes. Hello, commissioners, and thank you so much. So a few updates on our survey and designation program. So tomorrow, December 11th, PRS will review the proposed historic landmark nomination for Tucson City Hall. That designation was initiated by our mayor and council on November 5th. And so that will go through the process, including a rezoning process if recommended positively by PRS. The city was awarded a fiscal year 25 CLG grant for a citywide Mexican-American historic context, which we anticipate to kick off in the new year. This is intended to be a two-phase project. The second phase would be a survey. Let's see, our cultural compliance section 106 work. So our office has been in coordination with the four southern tribes who've agreed to give a cultural sensitivity training to city staff in January. So we have that scheduled, and that's part of our ongoing improvements to our cultural resource protection responsibilities. We also continue to work with our policies and procedures working group on proposed revisions to our administrative directive that guides our review processes for archaeological and historical resources in city projects. And so we met with that group in December, and we have two in-person meetings scheduled in January to continue that work. We also continue to work with HCD, the Housing and Community Development Department, and the State Historic Preservation Office on updates to our programmatic agreement. Hopefully we'll have that ready for consultation in the new year. The Barrio Anita Casitas Residential Infill Project, which was previously consulted on in 2024, was reduced from 8 units to 6 units within the Barrio Anita neighborhood, but it is outside of the Barrio Anita Historic District, and Chabot concurred that there will be no adverse effect to the properties, and that consultation period has closed. And then the All Saints Project, which is the housing rehab and development project in Armory Park, part of which would be in the HPZ, part of it is outside of the HPZ, is in continuing consultation for Section 106. The project sponsor is holding a continuing consultation meeting in January, and we believe Armory Park HPZ Advisory Board is going to participate in that. The applicant has indicated they will be submitting revised plans for the portion of the work at 375 South Stone Avenue. Originally, there is an L-shaped garage at the rear of the parcel, and originally the project proposed to demolish that garage, and now they're proposed to keep it. They're going to retain it based on community feedback, including PRS and the Armory Park board. I also wanted to give an update on 403 South El Paso in the Barrio Histórico District. This is the one that was partially demolished after a demo permit was issued in error. So that work, we got the building shored up, so it's currently shored up. That work is completed. It's been fenced off. Currently, the property is for sale. And that's all my updates. Are there any questions?
Commissioner Scoville? What are the four southern tribes?
You'd mentioned the four southern tribes. What are the four southern tribes?
Yes, so we're working specifically with Salt River and Tohono O'odham Nation currently on that particular training. So they provide cultural sensitivity training from a tribal perspective, and that will help us kind of in our work with ground disturbing activities as we prepare for various projects. This one in particular came about because of the Danny Lopez project, Danny Lopez Park project, but there, of course, are many other ground disturbing projects throughout the city.
This is Alice. I wanted to clarify the four southern tribes are Gila River Indian Community, Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community, Oxygen Indian Community, and the Tohono O'odham Nation.
Yeah, thank you, Alice. And the issue, Mauro, is that these four groups, these four tribes that are O'odham speakers, have come together and they consult, they work as the four southern tribes. They have working group meetings every month. If one consults with one of those tribes in the state, they have to consult with all of them. So if that makes sense, if you have more questions about that, you could ask me or Alice.
Okay.
Does that help? Okay.
Ken? Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. I'd never heard it.
Okay. Ken?
Yes, Desiree. Just recently in the paper, there was a little notice that the Hacienda Motel, and there's actually three different sections to it, has changed ownership. And would it be, and I haven't talked to the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation yet, but would it be appropriate to have you, as the Historic Preservation Office, at least offer that there might be resources or things what they do? We're trying to find out what their motivation is. Are they just going to tear it down, or are they genuinely going to want to try and do something positive with it? And it's been pretty heavily tagged. There's a fence around it. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. Mm-hmm. But it's just a little north of Drakma on the east side. So would it be possible for you to come back?
Yes, I think we can provide some resources. And someone from the project team actually did reach out recently. So I don't have full details on the project. I just know that they're planning interior work. There's currently no, at least there wasn't any discussion of exterior work at this point. And they're, we mentioned to them to preserve the sign, and they intend to preserve the sign at this point. So I don't have any more details than that. But
you don't know if they're trying to do something in the interior. We can sort of maybe assume they're not going to just demolish it tomorrow.
Right. There hasn't been, at least been any inquiries about demolition for the buildings themselves.
I appreciate it. If you can provide that, if you could send me an email, I might contact them on my own.
Okay, yeah, if there's any information you would like to, suggest that we share, any resources in particular you have in mind, definitely let me know.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, are there other questions? Okay, if not, thank you very much, Desiree. And I may have something else I did want to let you know that I am forwarding you a question from somebody in town, but it may have something to do with that other question on the public comment that I sent you. So when I get to the public comments, I'll say what you and I figured out. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes.
I have to be vague because it's not an agenda item. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's move on to 7B, which is Pima County Lands and Resources, etc.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, hi. I'd like to start out by recognizing a new face in the audience who's joining us today, Mr. Nathan Bacall, who is representing District 1. He's newly working for Supervisor Scott. Nathan, do you want to say hi to the group?
Yeah, hi, all. Excited to join.
Thank you.
Great. So he's just attending to get a little bit more familiar with the commission, and then Chris and I are going to meet with Nathan later on this month. And, welcome, Nathan.
Ian, before you get going, how does Nathan spell his last name? Is it B-A-C-A-L-L?
Just one L, it looks like.
Okay, great. I'm sorry, because I've got so many faces on here, I've got to write them all down. Thank you.
Absolutely. A couple quick updates. Kelly Ranch, if you remember, that's the property the county recently acquired last year, that has the McAdams House, the Josser House. We had a very interested resident from District 1, actually, who reached out to us, very passionate about that landscape and very passionate about that resource, and wanted to assist in providing some of their own funding, their family's funding, to restore and help rehabilitate that house. And so those donations, when they come in from private constituents, we direct them to our Parklands Foundation, which is basically our third-party foundation that sits to assist the conservation lands and resources in the county with funding. And so they did a very generous donation of $10,000 last year. Mm-hmm. And really, it's a constituent-driven effort, and really happy to make that partnership and have advocates like that. So just a really cool thing to report on. With regards to Mission Garden, the nomination that Scott so diligently prepared went through PRS last year. Last month, and it also went through HSRC and got wonderful reviews and was pushed through to the keeper with some minor revisions that are occurring right now. So in all expectation, we hope to have that property listed early in the new year. So really excited about that. Next is, you may have heard, it is not formalized yet, but there is a large county effort that is basically starting right now to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan throughout the year of 2026. Supervisor Cano is taking lead on that, and we have Congresswoman Grijalva, who's involved in it. We have some of the original board members that were there when the SDCP was passed. So very exciting, and there will be more details to follow as kind of that planning gets off the ground. And I would love for the commission to play a role in that in whatever capacity turns out that we can do. So I will definitely keep you posted. It's all in its infancy right now, and I should have more in January. Second to last, I've got in our reorganization, one area that also is centralized right now in the Cultural Resource Historic Preservation Office is the Environmental Planning Group, which basically is our sister coworkers that are doing a lot of the NEPA reviews in coordination with our Section 106 reviews, and also kind of our local compliance banner in terms of local environmental regulations that apply to our conservation lands, that apply to our restrictive covenants that are held in trust with the Arizona Land and Water Trust, as well as our conservation land system compliance. So I wanted to offer whether the commission would like a presentation in January or February that we could agendize, where Jenny would come in, give a 5 to 10 minute overview of what those programs look like and how they tie into what we do culturally in looking at everything kind of under one umbrella. So I just wanted to make that offer.
I'd like that, Ian. Can you go ahead and just send me an email on it? We can correspond on it.
But absolutely.
I'll make a note here in my agenda stuff.
Great. And then lastly, I'm going to turn it over to Courtney for an update on the preservation programs.
Yes, I'll keep this short. Unfortunately, I have a little bit of bad news on the preservation side of things. There was an unfortunate occurrence the weekend before last at the what's known as the Cienega Springs or Seneca Station of the Butterfield Trail that was recently designated a National Historic Trail a couple of years ago. Since it was designated as a National Historic Trail and it's very close to the Arizona Trail, it's the station itself is within the Cienega Creek Natural Preserve, which is managed and owned by Pima County Regional Flood Control District. It's about 4,000 acres, and it's a highly sensitive, amazing area of riparian vegetation, protected species, protected cultural sites, and unfortunately, even though we increased our vigilance on this one particular site, knowing that it was going to be out there more in the public, the wildlife cameras that we had installed on site picked up at least one individual using a metal detector at the site, and then staff and site stewards went out to do some reports, and we also reported to the sheriff's department. We identified several areas of disturbance on the site. So the site is known as the Cienega Springs or Seneca Station. That's 3 years, a 3 year time period for the Butterfield Trail going through. But as Commissioner Lamb and Commissioner Erickson have been working on and researching over the last few years, this site doesn't just represent those 3 years. It represents years, thousands of years of ancestral Native American occupation, including the trails that came before that historic Butterfield Trail and the trails that came after it and the transportation corridors that go through it. So this is a very unfortunate occurrence. This month, I'm undertaking several additional mitigation strategies, including some strategically placed fences, more wildlife cameras, one of which was stolen already, and appropriate signage, and a search of the internet to look for any site locations that might be out there on public-facing websites. And our group will be going out on December 17th to do a preliminary full-scale mapping project, and that will be followed up by a college advanced mapping class in the spring semester. So as we move through these mitigation strategies and damage assessments, we're always open to any suggestions. And we're always working with the site stewards and trying to find a good balance between education and promoting the importance of heritage and heritage sites, and also protecting the sites from vandalism and looting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Courtney. I think we have a question from Jonathan.
Yeah, I just want to just put it on your radar, and I can contact you after this. But when I work for the Forest Service in Cochise County, there's another Butterfield stage stop, and that one also got hit by metal detectors. And our colleagues at the Forest Service might have some more information about that and whether or not it's connected.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Johnny.
Yeah, thanks for that great collaboration there. Anyone else before we move on? Okay, Ian, did you have anything else? Did Scott have something?
Nope, I think we're good on this update. I know we have another item later on in terms of the tribal policy. Yep.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, item 7C is City of South Tucson. Is Joshua here? I guess not. Do you have anything to add, Carlos?
Thanks, Terry. I did speak to Josue recently. I think last meeting, the clerk was going to check and see if a member of their city council could do a report instead of Josue from planning. Did anyone find out if that's appropriate? From the clerk's office?
I don't think it would matter if they made just an update on behalf of the city of South Tucson. They could designate anyone they wanted, don't you think, Carla and Tracy?
Yes, I think they can designate anyone.
Okay, well, I'll reach out to Josue and see if there's a council member that might want to do that, because he's just slammed. But he did mention to me that really interesting attention that City of South Tucson is getting after all these years. So U of A College of Architecture and Planning and Landscape Architecture, Masters of Urban Planning, did a capstone project, and it is the best and most comprehensive study of City of South Tucson to date. It's 120 pages, and that's already been completed. I could put a link to that in the chat if anyone, I looked in the chat, doesn't seem to be on. But then
no, we don't have chat working. They never turn it on for us.
I can send that PDF for Carla to distribute, because this is a, you'd have to do so much of your own research to get any of this. It's really good. But what Josue said is that was just phase one, and there and U of A is already moving into a deeper phase on that, more significant and into some real depth. So that's really good. And then one other thing that Commissioner Scoville reminded me of when he was speaking about these defunct motels. Commissioner Christopher had asked about potential salvage of materials from the Spanish Trail motel, and I found out from Josue that the two main properties have been split. So the more historic, older part that burned, that's a separate new owner. And so if Commissioner Christopher wanted to reach out to them about salvage opportunities when they do their demolition, he would have to do that on his own. It's probably better to do it on his own than go through City of South Tucson, because they are in sort of an adversarial relationship with that owner, because they, no one wants to demolish the burned building. And so I'm just putting that out there. So that's a miniature City of South Tucson report.
Great. Thank you. That's very helpful. Any questions for Carlos?
Yeah, no, thanks, Carlos. And I'll look up that the new owner and reach out.
Thank you, Andrew. And thanks, Carlos, for sharing that. How big is the PDF? We can talk about that later for distributing it.
It's 120 pages.
And I can help you get it reduced to, if we need to reduce it to a more emailable size. So let me know. Okay.
Sure thing.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Item 7D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. Is Lydia Barker here today? Tracy and Carla, be sure that Lydia is getting all the agendas and stuff, because she is the representative from DTM that will be reporting to us. Okay?
Yes.
All right, so there's no report on that. Before we go on to item 8, I want to ask, there's someone on my second screen, Chandra Spence. Do you know, Chandra, who are you and who do you represent? I'm just for the minutes, I need to know.
Hi, I am an owner of a property on Jefferson Park neighborhood. I'm a native Tucsonan, and I'm here because there is a historical property, I believe it's Linden Street, that is possibly being set to be demolished, and our neighborhood has been talking about it, and that's why I'm attending.
Okay, I'm going to deal with that. I have a public comment on that, and it's on Lester Street. We'll deal with that at the end of the agenda, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. So a guest from Jefferson Park, and Tracy and Carla, do you have all the ones that are listed by phone number only, or do you need to ask? Because I don't want to have to do that when we're doing the reviewing the minutes.
The only phone number that I had questions on is ending in 3699.
And who is that?
That is I. That is I. I am Miriam Pattison, Pattison. And I am here partly because of the Annie Lester Homestead on Linden and Santa Rita, but also because I got a very urgent email from another Jefferson Park resident referring to the just mentioned property at 1177 East Leicester Street.
Yes. Okay, Ms. Patterson, I'm going to acknowledge your comment and then let you know, because we don't have people speak at the meetings on public comment and so forth, but I'll read your comment into the record and tell you what, and you'll be contacted about it and explaining why these issues are happening. Okay. So I just wanted to be sure that we have that. So we got that. So you're good. Carla.
Yeah, I think everyone is accounted for. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. That's better than later, now than later.
Right.
Okay. Item 8 is TPCHC subcommittee and other committee and council commission status reports. 8A is plans review subcommittee, and we've got Desiree and or Michael and me. So Desiree, do you want to start?
Sure. I don't think I have anything else to add. I think I mentioned during my report the nomination that we'll be considering for City Hall. I don't know if there are any other projects that you want to mention, Terry, or Michael, if he's here.
I think that's fine. People, if they're interested, can be looking at the agendas that are posted and so forth, right?
Yes. And if anyone has questions on specific projects, I can take those questions.
Don't hesitate to reach out. I don't see any hands up. So, okay. Michael, did you have anything?
No, Madam Chair, not on the PRS agenda, but I wanted to add on the Hacienda Hotel to mention that the sign was designated as a historic landmark sign in 2024. So, as Commissioner Ken was talking, if they have to demolish that sign, it's already designated as a historic landmark sign. That's the only thing I need to add.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Terry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just saw someone log in by the name of Carl. I'm not sure who that is.
I don't know either.
It may be Carl Steiner from Jefferson Park.
Carl, could you identify yourself?
He's on mute.
Carl, you're on mute. I bet you that's who it is.
Okay.
And Ms. Patterson, you could check maybe and let us know. Thank you.
I don't know him. Just got an email from him the other night. No.
Oh, okay. Very good. That was one of the emails. I'll talk to you about it later. BCC staff, we'll talk about that because I have an email for him if we need to find out who he is. Let me get back to where I was. Sorry. Item 8.
I'm sorry. I had a question for Michael Taku.
Okay, go ahead.
So is my understanding correct that if the signs at the Hacienda have been designated heritage landmark signs, that the owner doesn't really own them and it would be illegal to demolish them or change them?
It will have to be a mayor and council decision.
Okay, thanks. But they couldn't be granted any permit, right, immediately, right?
No, it has to go through the review before any permits can be granted for it to demolish.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Thanks, very helpful. Okay, we'll move on to item 8B, which is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Haggard.
We had no meeting this month.
Okay, no meeting in December. Okay. Item 8C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Erickson.
Yes, we met on November 20th, and that was Commissioner Grady's last meeting as chair. I think it's really important that we recognize what a heroic job he has been doing all this time
as
chair. And so we're happy that he's going to continue to work with us. So we looked at the Butterfield Trail situation and actually moved that the commission requests Pima County to put in place an appropriate designation procedure to protect the route of the Overland Trail. But I think I'm going to pass that on to JJ because she has a separate mentioned there, separate agenda item there. The other thing is we're looking forward to the evaluating parks and preparing a historic context study. We'll be talking about that at our December meeting. And then finally, if there are minor proposed changes at parks, and the parks are identified as Category 1 or 2, which means the historic, largely historic parks that we have, it was agreed that I or Blake Houghton would be able to review that and pass on it for issue to make it more expedient. And, of course, we'll report back to HLS as a whole if that happens.
Is that your report?
That's it.
Great. Any questions for Helen? And I'm checking both screens to see if there's any.
Yes, you all hear me? Hello?
Who is this?
I apologize for interrupting for a sec. My name is Carl Stein. I was muted before. I live at 1134 East Leicester Street. It's Stein. And good afternoon to everybody.
Great. Thank you. We've got that noted for the record. And like I said, I will get back to that comment at the end of the meeting, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you for letting us know. Okay, so we are now on item 8D, Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks, Terry. I'll be brief. Just two items. Okay, so on RTA, thanks to Commissioner Erickson for letting me know that the public comment period is ending really fast. It ends at 5 o'clock tonight, and the only news outlet that I think that announced it was like Kagan 9 out of everyone. And remember, we had asked for a longer comment period, along with the tribes had, I think one of the supervisors perhaps. But so we hopefully will get our final comment in by 5 today. And it's just consistent with everything we've been saying in the past year and actually in the past 5 to 10 years. And so there's that. And then TEP just took a really strange turn. If you've been following my reports on TEP, the 100-foot, 138 kV giant eyesore poles, so the reason for this was because TEP contended that in central Tucson, the infrastructure was on the verge of collapse and it was about to fall apart and overload and have brownouts and things like that. But then the zoning examiner said that going through central Tucson would violate the university area plan. So now TEP is not going to put in their Vine substation, which means that central Tucson is not going to get that the benefit of that project, which means that the poles technically aren't maybe even necessary anymore. So we've gone like full circle back to where we started from, but the project is still going forward. So this is just, I don't know if you understood what I just said, but it's really weird. I'm going to investigate it a little bit more, and we may send a note to mayor and council because this thing just gets weirder and weirder. But that's my only report.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions for Carlos? Okay, if not, let's move on then to item 8E, Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Yeah, the Commission on Equitable Housing Development met on the 4th, but they didn't post their video or anything or the live stream. So I don't have a report, but I do know that they discussed the draft memo that they've been working on to mayor and council. And Pima County's draft housing strategy and funding plan was also discussed, and there's a presentation of that as well as the draft memo on the city website for that committee. That's all I have today.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Commissioner McDonald? Okay, I'm not seeing any. All right, let's go back to item 8F, Budget Subcommittee. I have no report. Item 8G, Outreach and Training Subcommittee, Commissioner Lamb.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The Outreach and Training Subcommittee did not meet last month, but we just had this month's meeting. And I would like to just share that the subcommittee is finalizing arrangements for two webinars related to deconstruction. These will be held in 2026. And we're also working on compiling information related to the deconstruction resources available locally. And I'll just say that Commissioner Kubisch has been working very hard on this. These materials will be available in advance of the webinar. So, I would say the very first of the year, be looking for the announcement of those dates so that you can put them on your calendar. We feel like there's some, I'll just use the word, I hate to use the word confusion, but there needs to be more information available to commissioners and board members about how to actually take full advantage of our National Alliance of Historical Commissions membership. And so we'll be in the process over the next couple weeks of putting together an information sheet. And so be on the lookout for that. And that's all.
Okay, thank you, JJ. I just wanted to point out to commissioners that the commission's membership in NAPC, the National Alliance of Preservation Commissions, is funded with commission funds. And we also include staff from the city and county and various places. And it's a really great benefit. And you're expected to take many of those training opportunities because, in lieu of us being able to have training at the preservation conference, for example, like we used to do. It's not allowed anymore to do it that way. So it's really a good thing. And then the two speakers on that are coming up on, the deconstruction stuff, that's also funded by the commission, but it's not part of NAPC. So, we are going to ask people to document their presence at some of these events, because you need to be trained as a commissioner in different aspects of historic preservation that we can't include as part of these monthly meetings. Does that make sense? So we provide these opportunities. So if you have questions, please ask JJ or myself. I'll probably be distributing that information on behalf of JJ. So we look forward to continued, engagement by you folks with NAPC. So any questions on that? Okay. Good. Okay. On, item 8H, event subcommittee, and item 8I, preservation award subcommittee, there are no reports on either item. Item 8J is TPCHC Historic Preservation Advisory Working Group. And are we going to go with you, Helen?
Correct. Yes. So we met on Wednesday, December 3rd. I must say this is an extraordinary group of people. We owe some special thanks to Johnny, otherwise known as Mr. Knighton. Wiser, Johnny, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, who put together a PowerPoint going through the administrative directive that we are studying and trying to pull out various aspects of it for conversation. Two other, I'll mention what the updates we'll do on that in a bit. We have two very positive things happening here. One is that Damian Klinko has set up a file at the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, and we are collecting all the documents that we can find that have to do with historic preservation in Tucson, because there has not really been a central collection point. And Kathy Kubisch is sort of our forward person on working that collection. So we hope that eventually this will be something that will be cataloged and be available to everyone. It's amazing how many reports and things the commission did over the past, 40 years or whatever. But we want to make sure everybody can get hold of those. The other point is that we realized that given the character of the working group, we really needed to meet in person so that we can have a more flexible discussion. And that led us to find two dates in January when we're able to do this. There'll be luncheon meetings, there'll be two-hour meetings. And so we're looking forward to more positive conversation. I must say everybody who's involved with this group has been incredibly helpful and supportive, and the county is wonderful, the city is wonderful, and I think the commission is wonderful, and I think it's going to be a very positive experience.
Thank you, Helen. Be sure that those meetings also, they have to be agendized, so you know that.
Oh, yes, but yeah, we do so not we'll record them.
Yeah, we'll work on it, yeah.
Right, but they would have an agenda for those, yeah.
Perfect. Okay, thank you so much for arranging that. Any questions? I'll look quickly for hands here. Not seeing any. Okay, thanks for arranging that. Thanks to Demian for archiving those reports and other things. Might be also good to put those at the Historical Society. We can talk about that.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to item 9, which is ASM permitting and policy updates, and that's Ian.
Yeah, I really don't have any update. It's been silent since the Arizona Board of Regents approved the new rates and fee schedule, so we still are monitoring any additional guidance of when they're going to go into effect and any consequences that may bring. So I will keep you guys apprised.
Okay, thank you. And Tracy, we should notice there's no update, but actually Ian did update us briefly. So sometimes when they say there's no report and then say something, we still count it as a brief report.
Okay, thank you, Terry.
Sure. Item 10 is new Pima County Board of Supervisors policy on tribal consultation. And we're going to have Ian talk about this. We ran out of time last month. If you would be happy to share this with BCC to send out, that would be great, unless that was part of what you sent out last month, Ian.
No, I haven't sent this out. And just to be clear, words matter. There is no new policy. This is a policy initiative. This is the framing of the potential for a policy that requires a lot of different constituent groups to provide input, TPCHC being one of them. So there is no new policy. It's the, again, foundational work that would be put together in a study session that would be sent to the board should they want to entertain a policy. So basically what we're doing is just creating some substance and getting feedback from different groups. So that's what today.
And Ian, when is this scheduled to go in front of the board?
It's not. Right now, again, we are compiling information and reaching out to stakeholders. And then the expectation is that we would provide a report through county administration to the board members by the end of January. And then ideally, if the board does want to entertain moving forward with this policy, it would be wonderful if they did it in March, which is Cultural Resources or Archaeology Awareness Month.
Right. So I suggest what we do today, because we don't have a ton of time, but we want to give this full consideration, is that you present, and if we have a few questions or comments, great. Maybe we agendize it again in January so that we can, you know, if people want to give it more thought, I would really like to consider it. I'm really glad you all are doing this, the policy initiative. So, okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
All right. So, as you know, the county's work today, it builds on four decades of commitments to cultural resource protection, starting in 1983 with the Board of Supervisors resolution that called for professional archaeological review of county projects. Then you have the Board of Supervisors policy C317 in 2008 and the Associated Administrative Procedure 34-1 that came in 2016. That centralized countywide cultural resource compliance with our office, and it formalized consistent identification, evaluation, and treatment of cultural resources across all county operations, as well as private development. But the landscape around us is changing, as we are all aware, and across the nation, historic preservation is under immense pressure, and federal tribal consultation requirements are being weakened. And locally, most important, there is no mandate for tribal consultation, even though the vast majority of impacts to resources of tribal significance occur under local governments. So in this environment, Pima County has a responsibility to strengthen and not erode its commitments to tribal nations and to the stewardship of places, landscapes, and resources of enduring cultural significance. So the FDCP, Northern Desert Conservation Plan, it presents biological and cultural lenses independently. But tribal nations have long told us that they cannot be separated. Cultural identity, ancestral connections, land, water, plants, wildlife, and sacred places are indivisible whole. Form an indivisible whole. So our department's mission, CLR being in its second year, is to advance the SDCP by working within that holistic understanding. So this initiative is a natural evolution of the county's longstanding preservation framework. It regularizes consultation, it recognizes tribal sovereignty, and ensures that county decisions proactively account for resources of tribal significance. And it's an important milestone in the county's ongoing commitment to stewardship, inclusion, and respect for the First Peoples of this region. So, the purpose of this policy is pretty straightforward, but it's deeply significant. It's going to establish a consistent approach for how Pima County consults with tribal nations on matters involving resources of tribal significance. Now, keep thinking of that word, resources of tribal significance, because we're going to define it in just a second. From project planning and land management. So not just project-based compliance, but true land management or landscape management is also involved in the consultation process. It will ensure that tribal voices are not just heard, but truly integrated into county decision-making. And importantly, it's going to affirm that protecting cultural resources and resources of tribal significance is inseparable from protecting the landscapes, plants, and animals that define this region. So to provide context for some of the newer commissioners, Pima County lies within the ancestral territories of at least 13 tribal nations. The Pasco Yaqui tribe and the Tana Otum nation, they maintain governmental authority, i.e. are sovereign governments within the county. But we also acknowledge and recognize that other tribes, including the Gila River Indian Community, the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community, Akchin Indian Community, Hopi Tribe, Apache Tribes, and others, they maintain enduring cultural and spiritual relationships with this land. So these connections, they're founded on more than 12,000 years of human history represented on our current landscape. And they're reflected in the shape of sacred landscapes, archaeological sites, and living traditions that continue today. So a key element of the policy is the recognition of traditional ecological knowledge, or TEK. Although the concept of TEK has been around since the 1980s, it was not included in any of the SDCP planning reports, which today needs correcting. So TEK, it represents generations of indigenous understanding of how people, land, water, plants, and animals are interconnected. When tribes choose to share this knowledge, it enriches our collective understanding of stewardship, helping the county plan, restore, and conserve in ways that reflect both science and tradition. So this worldview, it aligns closely with the SDCP, which integrates biological and cultural conservation as equally vital components of sustainability. But again, in SDCP, they're separated. So the policy would set forth a series of commitments that guide county practice. Pima County will conserve and protect resources of tribal significance on county-owned and managed lands and include tribal nations in any decisions that may affect them. It establishes both programmatic and project-specific consultation so that collaboration happens consistently, not just when laws require it. The policy will also emphasize the protection of sensitive cultural information and the recognition of tribal knowledge as essential to effective resource management. The policy will provide clear definitions to ensure a shared understanding. So cultural resources, which is already defined in C317, includes sites, district, buildings, structures, objects, but we are amending it to include cultural landscapes, traditional cultural places of historical, cultural, architectural, archaeological, or scientific importance. Now, resources of tribal significance, newly defined, cultural, biological, and natural resources that hold cultural, spiritual, or historical importance to tribal nations. These may include, but are not limited to, particularly plants, animals, bodies of water, landforms, or ecological relationships identified by tribal nations as significant. Traditional cultural places, places associated with the cultural practices or beliefs of a living community that are rooted in the community's history and are important in maintaining continuing cultural identity. Tribal nations, tribes would be defined as that those nations that maintain ancestral, cultural, historic connections to Pima County lands, regardless of whether they currently hold a land base or have a geographic presence within or adjacent to the county. Such tribes, they retain a vested interest in consultation regarding the identification, management, and protection of cultural resources in Pima County. And traditional ecological knowledge, again, this is the cumulative body of knowledge, practices, and beliefs developed by Indigenous peoples through long-term interactions with their environment, encompassing relationships among people, lands, waters, plants, animals, and natural systems. Traditional ecological knowledge is specific to each tribe and shared voluntarily at their discretion. The policy will commit to programmatic consultation as a foundation. It's the broader ongoing dialogue between the county and interested tribes. At least once a year, the county's Cultural Resource Historic Preservation Office will convene an annual consultation meeting with interested tribes. These meetings will provide space to discuss classes of projects, cumulative issues, county planning initiatives, and shared stewardship goals. The goal is to maintain active government-to-government relationships based off of trust and transparency. And in addition to these broader discussions, the policy will also establish procedures for project-specific consultation, a current practice that would then have foundational support and direction from the Board of Supervisors as policy. For any county project that could affect resources of tribal significance, consultation, if necessary, will begin early, ideally during initial planning or design as it's currently practiced. But what this policy would do is memorialize that our office would be authorized to be the authority that determines whether consultation is necessary on behalf of all units of Pima County because of our professional understanding and sensitivity that we hold as staff members in this office. The process will be flexible, tailored to each tribe's preferences, whether through in-person meetings, written correspondence, or virtual sessions. The intent is to ensure that tribal perspectives help shape how cultural, biological, ecological resources are identified, evaluated, and protected. It will also clarify expectations for county lands and for projects sponsored by non-county entities on county lands. So when the county owns land that contains or may contain these resources of tribal significance, tribes will be invited to participate and share knowledge related to the inventory management and preservation of that property. For projects by third parties on county property, such as leases, easements, or any type of development by utilities, consultation with tribes may be required as part of the county's review and compliance process, again, as determined by our office. And importantly, if the county ever sells or transfers land with resources of tribal significance, tribal consultation may be warranted, allowing preservation conditions to be built into the sale. So to carry out the intent of this policy, the county administrator would then develop an administrative procedure similar to the Board of Supervisors policy and the admin procedure that accompanies that. The procedure would establish how the policy is carried out, how consultation occurs, ensuring that it's timely, consistent, and respectful. It'll integrate our existing cultural resources review processes at memorialized in C317 and admin procedure 34-1, and it will define clear documentation and reporting standards so that our consultation process remains transparent and accountable. So implementation of this office will rest entirely with our office. We will coordinate consultation across all county departments, maintain records, ensure confidentiality, and document how tribal input informs county resource management decision-making. In doing so, the policy is going to advance the goals of the Sonoran Desert Conservation Plan, Pima Prospers, and future and our county strategic plan, as well as future county initiatives that integrate cultural and biological resource management. So in closing, this policy initiative embodies Pima County's commitment to respect, stewardship, and inclusion. It acknowledges that long-term sustainability requires us to care for both the land and the cultural relationships that define it. By institutionalizing consultation, which is desperately needed in local government today, we honor tribal sovereignty, recognize ancestral connections, and strengthen the partnerships that make this region whole far beyond that of a land acknowledgement statement. This is more than a procedural policy. It's a statement of shared responsibility and respect for the land and its history. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great. Are there questions for folks? That was wonderful. Thank you. Helen?
This is Alice Badamdi. I'm on the phone. Can I have a question?
Go ahead, Alice.
This is really great, Ian. I'm happy to hear it. I just was curious, too, did you have tribes, do you work with tribes to develop the policy?
So the policy has not been developed yet. We have a draft of
this is based on your office's professional experience working with tribes.
Correct. So the next step is we are engaging different constituencies. So today I'm presenting to you. In January, I am presenting to the four southern tribes. I am working with colleagues in specific tribes. And then eventually the policy itself, the draft that we will create based off of that feedback, will go out to all of our tribes for review. And it'll then be presented to our board through county administration as whether they would like to move forward with it.
Great. Thank you.
Yep.
Great. Thank you. Let's see. Who was the next question? They should be numbered 1, 2, 3 on the screen.
I think it was Helen, but I'm not.
Go ahead, Helen.
Okay. So here is my question for you. How are you going to work with groups that are not federally organized tribes? Because that is sort of what I've come across in my work, especially dealing with members of Chiricahua Apache Nation here. I'm just interested in how you would interact with them, how you would reach out to them, et cetera.
Well, so that is the advantage of doing this under a local banner, is that we are not restricted to federally recognized tribes such as you are in Section 106, truly from a government-to-government consultation standpoint. So this affords us the ability to build relationships and engage tribes that are not federally recognized. So the answer to your question is we welcome all
okay.
to the table.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, Carlos, you're next.
Yeah, hi, Ian. Yeah, thanks. This is like music to my ears. So transportation has been attempting to sort of, like what Helen says, establish very informal liaisons to the non-federally recognized tribes. And again, on a very informal basis, just to begin to sort of CC them on some of the things that we're doing, like those TEP 110 foot poles. I mean, that would mar the landscape, you know, the beautiful landscape. And that would be something I think that would be of interest to anyone that has any ancestral connection to Tucson, but do you have do you have a list of liaisons of from those 13 ancestral nations that you mentioned that could help us out, because it's hard to establish these liaisons?
Well, so each tribe is structured differently in how they process, a response from the tribe. So, you know, typically the conduit that you go through is the tribal historic preservation officer, if they have one, or the cultural resources office. But then there are cultural committees, there's tribal council. And so it's unique to each tribe. And so especially with the four southern tribes, as said earlier, they appreciate that you go to the working group as a whole to speak with all four at once rather than engaging individually. And so we engage individually. We go to the working group sessions. We will meet with cultural committees. We will meet with tribal council members. It's really each tribe guides us in who we need to interact with in order to effectively get the right people to the table. Anytime we work through ethnographic programs, for example, we are engaging with people that are differently, that are not necessarily obvious people that we engage with in the Section 106 process. So it's also very difficult, especially, you know, think of tribes that have districts like the San Javier district in Tonawatam. They speak with a voice for their district, but they speak also as part of the greater Tonawatam. So very multivocal, and you need the tribes to self-identify who are the right people to have at the tables.
Okay, well, I'll reach out to you next time it becomes an issue. But the other thing was, and I'm sure everyone's wondering, can you convert your PowerPoint into a PDF that we might be able to look at, that you might distribute?
Yes.
And then one other question. I remember, I think it was Commissioner Steer a year or so ago said that either it was like BLM or NPS or USGS had published a list of offensive place names that they were going to start to rename. And whatever happened to that? I mean, I think somebody told me that Papago Road is still an exit on I-19.
I think those discussions are still going on the state, but the best question to ask on that is SHPO, because I know that they were involved in it, as it really had more statewide applicability.
Okay, thanks, but I appreciate all your good work on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Carlos, I've given a lot of thought to this because of some of the work I do from one of my big clients, so we can talk about it. I encourage further discussions with Ian, and this is also a good topic for the Historic Preservation Advisory Group, because the city needs one of these policies too. Sorry, they do. Okay, so let's, Ken, can you be brief? I'm sorry, because we still have another presentation and need to wrap up shortly.
Sure. Thank you for the segue, because I was sort of asking about from the city. From a lot of times with land use, Pima County has a certain specific land use that's supposed to stay when there's an annexation, and it seems to never happen with the city. Now, if it's county lands and having this policy, what happens when it's annexed by the city? Is there a cooperation or agreement or something in place so that things don't automatically change?
And that's a great question. So legally, I don't know the ins and outs of that, but it is definitely part of the consideration that is known, and you've now, you know, highlighted it, but it's definitely on our list of things to better understand and to be truthful about what is truly allowable from our standpoint if the city were to annex. But if they're annexing county property, we still retain ownership of our county property. If they're annexing a property that we've sold or to a private landowner, for example, or that we've, provided an easement on or something like that, at that point, we still have regulatory oversight over that deal or that deed that goes with that. So conditioning that the annexation would not affect that.
And just one other comment related to this. State Land Trust, when they sell the land, but it's Pima County land, what's the condition or connections that you can still keep those kinds of concerns in place?
So real quick, there's a difference between ownership and jurisdiction. So even though Pima County has jurisdiction across the county in unincorporated Pima County and there are state lands, we do not have authority on state lands. So state lands and the state land department, their whole process on state lands follows state law that county zoning, county, everything county does not apply to. So it's kind of like federal property within the county boundary as well.
Okay. But when property then becomes by a private group, then you would still.
Then it kicks in.
Okay.
Yeah, then it kicks in. Right. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. This is great, Ian. And we're going to go ahead and put this on for further. We can distribute that PDF of your presentation and then have people think further about it and comment for you next month so that you can include any feedback in your report, right?
Sure. That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I'm just looking real quickly here. Okay. We're going to move on to Ken. Did you still have your hand up or you forgot to put it down? Oh, there you go. Thank you. Okay, we're going to go on to item 11, which is an update on the Butterfield Trail discussion. Well, on the Butterfield Trail, and Commissioner Lamb put together, I believe, a PowerPoint to show us. Is that true?
Yes.
JJ?
It's very short. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can. Do you need to get permission to share?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Do I have permission to? I have hit share.
I haven't seen it change to your screen yet. Do you need to give her permission, Tracy or Carla?
No, she should be able to share her screen. Give me one second. Hold on.
Or how big is your PowerPoint? You might be able to send it to somebody who can share it for you.
Oh, okay. It's just like six slides. Okay.
It's not, you're not able to share?
Well,
I'm not seeing it on my end over here. It's giving me an option.
Oh, you mean to change it? There you go.
Can you click
on that? Yes, we can see. Can everyone see that? Okay. If you go up to start slideshow from the beginning.
Mhm.
Mhm. Okay.
I'll go ahead. It's nice if it's the whole screen, but yeah, okay.
If you hit from beginning, it will be.
If I do what?
Hit from beginning. You're far left on that bar above the first slide. See right there? There you go.
Oh, thank you. Okay. The Butterfield Overland Mail Celerity Wagon, and that's what we're seeing right here, hurries along the trail to meet a very demanding schedule. Now, understanding how the Southwest was woven into the American story requires a hard look at the short-lived Butterfield Overland Mail. It was part of a compromise to stitch together new states and territories in the wake of the Mexican-American War. This trail expanded American influence west beyond the Mississippi and carved a path that all future transportation developments would follow, inscribing the national story on our local landscape. And let's go to the next. So landmarks point the way to Tucson. Looking west visually following the trail from Houghton Road, it's easy to feel a strong sense of history. One can imagine the sounds of the wagon wheels rumbling and the sharp clatter of their metal-clad wooden wheels rolling over rocky soil. The inset photo on the lower right is a drawing made of an incident between horses and mules pushed to meet a demanding schedule between what would become Vail and Tucson. It's not hard to imagine the importance of landmarks like the distant Tucson mountain peaks to Butterfield stage drivers finding their way through Arizona's wide open spaces. Oops. There we go. So maps tell the Butterfield story. I want to acknowledge Commissioner Erickson's important, really important work to align GLO maps with the work of Gerald Ott and the Trail Turtles and others to overlay those landmarks, those maps, all of that information overlay onto current maps so that we can better understand, you know, the alignment and exactly how that works with the world we live in today. So in the upper right-hand corner is Roscoe Conkling taking notes at three bridges in Vail near Seneca Butterfield stage stop in 1927. And the Conklings in the late 1920s spent years documenting the trail. So John Butterfield of upstate New York had extensive experience in the operation of stage lines, canals, and railroad lines. And in 1857, he won a national contract to provide semi-weekly mail service for the fledgling United States. The stages covered approximately 2,795 miles in a really astonishing 25 days. Before that, you know, mail would have taken incredible. It took months to go around the horn. Okay. So in the upper left-hand corner is a photo taken about 20 years after the building, this particular building, served as Tucson's Butterfield mail station. The Butterfield Overland Trail was designated a National Historic Trail in 2023, and we feel that this particular section of the trail offers a very precious, tangible reminder of Arizona's role in our national story. And you can see the brown dots here. This is the alignment of the trail. So there wasn't just one trail. There were multiple branches depending upon the time of year, the weather, and other circumstances that had to be worked around. So rather than cede this land to an ecologically questionable project, we believe that the route should be developed as a connecting segment of a multi-use trail linking the loop to the Arizona Trail, the historic Seneca Stage Station, the Pantano Railroad site, and the 2,795 miles of historic trail that links seven states. Heritage and ecotourism are among the least extractive economic undertakings. In 2023 alone, 45.7 million visitors spent $29.3 billion in our state, and most sought out the heritage landscapes, national parks, state parks, tribal cultural sites, and historic corridors that define Arizona's sense of place. This is an incredibly important part of that. So I'd like to introduce you to Adele Schmidt, and I'll just say this is one of my favorite pictures. You know, at the end of the day, all history is local history. So there's Adele and her goats. This photo was taken by Roscoe Conkling in the late 1920s. It's actually, having looked at his collection, it's one of the very few photos that he took and that remain in his collection of local residents, kind of a little bit of local flavor there. There's several other photographs. So she was the proprietor of the Cienega Service Station out by Three Bridges. Adele and her daughter Gladys, familiar with the area and local Vail area residents, they're the ones who showed the Conklings who were researching the whole length of the Butterfield Trail in the late 1920s, where Seneca Station was located. So I bring this into this conversation to highlight really the importance that local history plays in connecting residents to their place in the national story. Oh, you know what? And that little arrow pointed to Rincon Peak. Okay, so I just want to end by saying preserving this trail alignment
that in many areas winds through a mostly visually intact historic landscape, honors our history, strengthens our tourism economy, offers a sustainable and community-serving alternative to a project with serious environmental costs. And then I just wanted to ask Courtney, I mean, you provided a lot of really disturbing developments, and that's the challenge. But I wanted to see if you had anything else you'd like to say. And then I have a motion that I'd like to put forth.
Okay. Courtney? No, can you hear Courtney? Is there a reason? Maybe, Ian, are you still on? Is Courtney still there?
I am still on. I think, oh, there's Courtney. But we can't hear you, Courtney.
Have you lost your voice, Courtney? I think so.
You may want to back out, Courtney, and come back in.
Yeah, muted.
Yeah, and JJ, when you make your motion, could you, do you have it written down? If you could email it to me, Tracy, and Carla for the that would be helpful rather than waiting for the transcription, because sometimes that doesn't come out so well. So let's just wait for Courtney, and we do need to wrap up here fairly soon. And I do have the public comment that was received to go over. So,
okay,
this is incredibly important, and it really fit well with what Courtney presented today. The unfortunate news from Courtney.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Perfect.
Okay, I'm sorry I missed the last couple of minutes of discussion, but I just wanted to say that I really appreciate the background and research that Commissioner Lamb has been undertaking on this project for the last couple of years. It really has been a lot of research on her part and her partners, and I do fully support preserving as much as the trail as possible, and promoting education and the importance of the diverse heritage that was connected to these landscapes. And also, if we can do it in a way that balances the protection of the landscape and the importance of the ancestral Native American aspect of these sites. That's what I would strive to do. Thank you.
No, and just know that I can agree with everything that you just said, Courtney. Yeah, that's our goal.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
go ahead with your motion.
Okay, so I would like to make a motion to request that Pima County and the City of Tucson make every effort to protect the alignment and station sites, including important landmark view sheds, archaeological and visual evidence of the trail on the ground, and that background information be provided that will facilitate and strengthen those efforts.
Great. Who will second that motion?
This is Blake. I will second.
Thank you, Blake. Okay, it's been moved and seconded, so we need a roll call vote, please.
Okay, Alice Sandagi.
Alice, are you still on?
She left at 1:19. She sent an email.
Okay. Go ahead.
Andrew Christopher.
Aye.
Blake Houghton.
Aye.
Carlos Lozano.
Aye.
Courtney Marks.
Aye.
Gary Miner.
Aye.
Helen Erickson.
Aye.
JJ Lamb.
Aye.
Jessica Bassey?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Ken Scoville?
Yeah.
Kathy Kubisch?
Aye.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Motion passes 15-0.
Thank you very much. And thank you, JJ, for that really moving presentation. And that might be something, would folks want her, do you want her to share that presentation with you all? Yes? Yes, I see Helen. Do you mind doing that, JJ? You can just send it to Tracy and Carl and me, and then they can distribute it. You can make a PDF of it if you want.
Yes, I'll do that. And I just want to really, this whole thing is, it's really a team effort. And I want to recognize Commissioner Erickson and Gerald Onert and so many others, and Gerald Lamb. Anyway. This
great. Thank you. Okay. Before we move on to the next item, I wanted to note a question, I think, from Carla, right, about someone named Joel Floyd just joined the meeting. Is that via Teams or via phone?
Looks like it's via Teams.
Yeah. Joel, are you also someone from Jefferson Park?
I think he's muted.
Can you unmute, Joel? If not, you know, that's, yeah, that's problematic. I think we really need to be able to open up the chat, because when we do plans review and have numerous people on the meeting, we can ask who somebody is without disturbing the rest of the meeting. But, so Joel, does anyone from Jefferson Park know this Joel person? No? Yes? No? Okay. I don't know what to say.
Okay, yeah. Yes, I'm from Jefferson Park. I live in a house on Lester Street, and I'm concerned about the house. I just saw it on our listserv. I wasn't prepared to say anything, but watching the house in question deteriorate, and there's been a dumpster out there. I understand from the listserv that there's a demolition permit issued. And I live in a house that I believe was built by Annie Lester, and I believe this house might have been. I don't know the whole history of it, but apparently it's going to be torn down very soon.
Mr. Floyd, we don't take, like, verbal. We've already had written public comment. That's the way that we get it submitted for our meeting. So I will review that public comment in a few minutes at the end of the meeting, and I will provide a way for further information to be submitted to everyone who has, you know, we'll try to get it to your listserv so people understand this better, okay? And
thank
a
you.
Contact person. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so is that it?
Pardon me. Can I interrupt for a sec? I know we're running out of time. I too am from Jefferson Park. I feel like, and maybe I'm mistaken, we're squeezed into having virtually no time at all to comment.
Wait, Mr. Stein, it's noted on our agenda that you have to submit public comment prior to the meeting. We don't have discussions, and in any case, public comment is informational only. It's just, and that's how it is at Mayor and Council and everywhere else. So I'm going to provide a way for you to get more information, okay? Because it doesn't sound like this can wait till next month for further information. So let me handle it, because we still have some other items. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, item 12 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the City of Tucson. Ken, do you have anything very quickly?
Well, just that my monthly plea for the Atkins property at Fort Lowell. And I'm going to probably make another appointment with the county administrator at the first of the year. But it's been also almost a year since I met with her last. So I'd like to get some movement somewhere besides having a class. That's it.
Okay. All right. Item 13 is Commissioner's Summary of Current Events. Information only. Does anyone have a current event they wish to share? Anyone? I'm not seeing any hands. For some reason. All right, I'm looking here real quickly. My screen is sort of frozen up, so I'm not sure what's happening here. All right, item 14 is called to the audience. So yesterday I had comments that were submitted, or the day before, I received comments that were submitted prior to the deadlines, and I'm just going to go through those really quickly, and then I'll explain what I did. Let me find them here. Okay, one is from M. Patterson, and Ms. Patterson is, I believe, a resident of Jefferson Park, and this is, I'll just read it to you, and this was forwarded to me by the clerk's office because that's where comments go to, the boards and commissions. So I'm forwarding this email to you with the intent that you can advise us how to be able to speak at the next meeting of the Historical Commission on Wednesday, 11 December at noon. Can we appear in person? If not, how do we join by Zoom? So they were provided with the information, but they were also told that we don't have discussion of these items that are public comments. So this demo permit was a surprise bit of news that was sent out via the JPNA e-news last summer, reportedly as having been granted. However, nobody seems to have been able to verify the status of this supposedly already granted permit, even though no notice was ever sent to any nearby neighbors, let alone the neighborhood association. Further, no action has taken place since then, although this news continues to circulate. Is it, in fact, just some rumor begun by the current owner of the property, who happens to be one of the investors who has been destroying historic contributing properties in order to build student housing, or is it truly a done deal? In either case, what can be done to prevent this from happening? The leaders of the JPNA seem resigned to allow it to happen, assuming there is nothing they can do. However, as you can see, there are individuals who would very much like to prevent it. Therefore, we would like to alert the commission of this pending proposal and hope it can be somehow averted. Note, this was the residence of Anna Lester, after whom the street was named. Therefore, the potential tragedy if it were to disappear. So that's M. Patterson's comment. There was another forwarded comment from Carl, and that's from you, Carl Stein, correct? Jefferson Park neighbor says, greetings, I live near this famous home and understand that it's sadly slated for demolition. Are there any thoughts or urgent suggestions to foster preventing this awful plan? Thank you and kind regards, Carl. Now, I had forwarded these messages to our historic preservation officer in Tucson, Desiree Aranda, and she now, because of the nature of this comment, I'm going to ask Carla. Carla, can Desiree say a few words? There can be no discussion, correct? Because it's simply public comment. Or right. If not, yeah. Can she make a few comments, or can I respond to the people that I have emails for? M. Patterson, I've got Carl's email and Lila Sunborn's email and R. Bolza. So, how can I communicate more information to this group of people about this?
So you can email them, since we will have a thread. So you can email them information, and if Desiree would like to say some comments, that is fine as well.
So I could loop her in, and yes. She can say a few comments now?
Yes.
Okay, Desiree, if the topic that we talked about, why this is allowable because of where it is, right?
Yes. Yeah, I can explain our policies a little bit. And I did want to mention just really quickly, Commissioner Lamb, I think you're still sharing your screen, just FYI, in case you weren't aware. You're welcome.
That's why multiple screens.
So Jefferson Park is a National Register Historic District. It is not a historic preservation zone. In the city of Tucson, demolition protections for historic buildings, contributing buildings, apply to historic preservation zones, the HPZs, or the historic landmarks. So National Register Historic Districts don't provide any type of protection for demolition. And so this is why that application, they did apply for a permit to demolish that building. It is in our system. The permit has not yet been issued, but it appears to be close to that step. We have another policy that relates to any building over the age of 50 years old in the city of Tucson that's proposed for demolition needs to be documented. So what that means essentially is photographed. If it's a contributing building to a historic district, we require a floor plan for that building or structure. So the applicant did provide the required information. That review was completed and accepted. So at this point, it does appear that their application is moving forward. Unfortunately, there aren't any, you know, aside from historic landmark designation or historic preservation zone designation, there aren't any further real avenues to, you know, prevent the demolition of that building.
Mm-hmm. Now, Desiree, you, so I just, all the folks that are on about this item, you can look at Desiree's, at the City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office website. And if they just put that into Google, they could find you.
Historic Preservation Office. And we do have, if you want to email our office, pdsdhistoric@tucsonaz.gov, that comes to all of us in the office.
Yeah, and that email is noted there. And also, there's some very good sections on explaining the difference, right, between historic preservation zones that have a lot more teeth and National Register districts that don't. And that's still all on the website, correct, listing the different districts and so on, correct?
Yes, I believe that information is there. If there are any other questions, though, feel free to reach out to us. I will also mention the NPZ, so that's another acronym. NPZs, some of our, that's a neighborhood preservation zone, so some of our National Register districts are also NPZs, but the NPZ does not have that demolition protection that the HPZ does as well. So just in case you had a question about the NPZ.
Mm-hmm. And then the historic landscape, historic landmark designation that the city is created and is possible, that takes time to put together, and it wouldn't be looked kindly upon if the owner of the property didn't agree, correct? Desiree?
That's correct. So in Arizona, there's the Arizona Private Property Rights Act, or also known as Prop 207, that has made it difficult for municipalities and cities to designate properties without owner consent. So it's not impossible, but it opens the city up, you know, to potential legal challenges. So it's most designations post Prop 207 happen with owner consent.
Yeah. And we can have further discussion on this. Okay. It's not a discussion item.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I just wanted to give, you know, these people have waited faithfully and they didn't understand about the discussion thing. So, you know, if anyone on this call or, you know, from Jefferson Park wants more information, please go to that website and contact Desiree, you know, for other information or options. And if you want an agendized item next month, I will consider it if you send that email to boards and commissions like Ms. Patterson did. And also there was one from Ralph Mendoza, and Mr. Stein was copied on that. So that's all we can say on that. And I thought that would at least be helpful to you to understand why it's very difficult to do anything on it.
Thank you. Could you repeat that website, please?
Yeah, go ahead, Desiree.
Sure. So if you go to tucsonaz.gov, we are in the Planning and Development Services Department. You can also type in historic preservation. Our web page should come up. You can also email us, PTSDhistoric@tucsonaz.gov. PDSD, that's for Planning Development Services Department, historic@tucsonaz.gov. And, I can drop the, or do we have a chat?
No, they don't let us use the chat, which is problematic. We need to check on that again, Carla.
I'll follow up on it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, Desiree, for that. So, okay, item 15, does anyone have thoughts on inclusivity that are brief? Helen?
Yes, I would just like to say that the initiative of Pima County that was discussed today is perhaps one of the most important directions that we've seen lately. Thank you, Ian.
I totally agree with that. Amazing. Was there anyone else that had their hand up for an inclusivity moment? Let me see. I thought I saw other hands up. Let me see. Really hard for me. Ken? Ken, did you have an inclusivity item?
No, I was just trying to make some kind of comment for the people to just be aware that we don't really have any preservation outside the zones. We really don't. Everything's at risk in the whole city, anywhere. That's the sad part of the reality of Tucson.
It's a reality of most places. Ian, did you have a comment on inclusivity?
No, I apologize. I just hit a button when I was trying to respond and say thank you to Helen. So that's it. Thank you, Helen. Cool.
No worries. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for that, Helen. That was very apropos. Item 16 is schedule and future agenda items for upcoming meetings. I need them emailed to me by January 2nd, 2026, to be considered for the January 14th, 2026 agenda. I will be in touch with you about the first item you mentioned, but we may want to agendize instead the discussion of development of the tribal policy. But you can give me the wording on it. Does that make sense? If we can have your other presentation in February, but let's be in touch about that. I'll make a note to myself. So
whatever's easiest, there's no urgency on the environmental planning program's presentation.
But I'm glad that we would have that. It would be great. Okay, let me see. Are there any other immediate agenda items, or you can always communicate them to me, as many of you are very good at doing? No? Okay, so then I appreciate everyone's time, and it was a very full meeting, and we will go ahead and adjourn at 1:48. And, Tracy and Carla, could you stay on? And I just want to discuss the schedule for me reviewing the LAR. Thank you, everyone. Adjourned at 1:48.